Welcome into the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. JP Shadrick with you on Friday, November 19th. We have the best of the week around Jags Broadcasting and Jaguars.com. We're headed into Week 11. The Jaguars host the San Francisco 49ers at TIAA Bank Field. We'll hear from head coach Urban Meyer on the Jags wide receiver core, Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli on how to improve the wide receivers in the offseason, and Bucky Brooks on the pocket presence of Trevor Lawrence. Remember to subscribe to the Jaguars official podcast network on Apple iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your pods. Leave us a comment and a five-star rating. Let's get into it this week with head coach Urban Meyer in Wednesday's press conference looking for more out of the Jags wide receivers.
So we're just kind of trying to find the right mix out there. The DJ Chark obviously was something we counted on with his speed and size, and then we, you know, continue to search. And you know, Marvin Jones has been pretty consistent. LaVisca, we've been moving inside and outside, you know, and I think we're going to settle him down at one position. Agnew was a guy that we really didn't count on, and he turned out to be provide a spark for us. He's fast, he's tough, takes care of the ball. That's one of the areas that we're trying to figure out.
Back to Monday, and plenty of questions about the receivers and the offensive production leading into Jaguars happy hour Monday afternoon. Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli, and I dug into the social media mailbag. At Zach Bierman, what percentage of Trevor's struggles to this point are on him, and what percentage is on the wide receivers and offensive coordinator?
I think it's 43.7643 on him, and
I can't wait to hear the other number. Yeah, I can't wait to hear the other percentage.
Right, I can't wait.
53.23645 on Darrell Bevell.
That doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. But what did you? So you put it on the receivers or on him and the? What do you put it on?
So I'll give you a right. Here's the answer. I put 10% on the offensive line. I put 15% on the quarterbacks. I mean, on the tight ends. I put 5% on the running back. I put 20% on the quarterback, and I put 25% on the receivers and 25% on the coach. That equals 100%. People, add it up.
All right, I'd put more on the wide receivers. I'd put more on the coach. I'd probably go 30-30 for the. And I'd probably go 35-25 because I think the receivers are the main problem. And then offensive line probably 10, like you said. Tight ends, I mean, yeah, I guess recently though, it's hard to put it on Arnold.
Right, he's playing fine. He's been good.
So I'd probably go 5% on them. And then the staff for who they hired. Put the rest on the head coach. It's a bad offense. And I will say this. I think there will be major changes to the offense after the season. Major.
How?
Nobody's told me that. Huh?
Like how?
New offense, new coordinator, whole new thing.
He thinks there'll be changes at the coaching levels. What are you saying, JP?
I heard that, yes.
And draft a wide receiver.
And sign one in free agency.
No, there isn't anything in free agency worth a damn.
Still going to sign.
You're not getting Davante Adams.
All right, draft
two. Would you
trade
two first-rounders for Davante Adams?
No. Would you?
I would, yeah.
No. Wow.
Why, Pete?
Two? I might trade one and something else.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Would you trade your first and second rounder, both are going to be top 10 in the round, next year to the Packers with Davante Adams?
Is he also going to morph into a guy who can rush the passer too?
No, I'm just asking you the question, Pete.
First no, I would rounder, not.
I would.
Because you're going to have to pay him the highest, make him the highest paid receiver in the league too.
Fine. You immediately.
Yeah, you know what?
He's you know he's what? Young.
He's not young.
Well, how old is he? 26, 27?
I think he's older than that.
He's older than that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's 28. Yeah. He's 28. He's going to be 29. He'll be 29 in December.
Okay, he has a good 5 years left in him.
JP, would you do that?
One first round pick or two?
Or would you rather have Davante Adams or draft a guy like Garrett Wilson in the first round and come back and get another one in the second round.
I'll tell you what, Garrett Wilson looked pretty damn good last Saturday.
From Ohio State.
Ohio State kid, number five.
So would you take Garrett? Okay, who's going to be better for the next 3 years, Garrett Wilson or Davante Adams?
Davante Adams, but you also don't have anybody else. If you get another one in the second round, you get two.
So you
they need more than one. They need more than one. They need three.
So the first three picks in the draft are all receivers?
Oh.
Two are from Ohio State, one's from Alabama. They're all former Ohio State guys. Why not? Bring them all.
Which Alabama kid would you take? Would
Jameson,
you take one?
Jameson Williams. Speedburner, deep ball guy.
I'll say this.
Went to Ohio State. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say this. I probably wouldn't make the trade. I didn't know Davante Adams was 29 next year. For some reason,
not next year. He's going to be 29 next month.
Well, that's what I mean. I didn't. Next season, he'll be 29 years old.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make that trade. That's old. That's getting up there. So I would,
You'd draft a wide receiver, though.
Who's the best young wide receiver?
What do you mean?
Like Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase?
Yeah. Oh.
Would you call Minnesota and say we'll give you a first and a second for Justin Jefferson?
Yes.
They wouldn't do it, would they?
They wouldn't do it.
No, of course not.
Would you give two first rounders for Justin Jefferson?
I think about it. That quarterback needs that.
Wow. By the way,
it used to be you didn't need that guy. You need that guy now.
Because here's the thing, Pete. Let me ask you a question. Who won the Jalen Ramsey trade?
The Rams did.
Yeah. We got the two players we got were C.J. Henderson and
It was ETN.
ETN and Chase on. ETN and Chase on. Who won?
The Rams did. Who would you go sign Chris Godwin?
Is Chris Godwin a number one, Pete?
That's a good question. That's what I mean. He's going to be here's who the receiver is going to be on the market. Davante Adams. If you could get him as a free agent, but he won't come here. You get Allen Robinson. No.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin.
How fast is Chris Godwin?
He's not a burner.
He's pretty good, though.
He is pretty good.
And how much should pay him?
They get some speed. They can bring back here. They can really upgrade the receiving core. They can bring back Allen Robinson and Keelan Cole.
Oh my gosh! Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
They're both unrestricted.
A homecoming.
My brain hurts, dude.
A homecoming.
I would take a long look at Chris Godwin. How about this? How about going and get a young guy in the first round and Chris Godwin? Because everything I hear about Chris Godwin is he's a pro.
He's a great kid. So you get Godwin and you draft Garrett Wilson. All of a sudden, your receivers are your. Because anybody, then you can fit the third one in whoever it is.
That's right. And your Keenan Cole is your third.
Will DJ Chark come back on a 1 year deal?
Oof. Might have another choice, Pete.
Yeah. I mean, anywhere is going to have to, right?
There you go. Bring him back.
Oh, let's move along. By the way,
maybe they have a cornerback they can convert to wide receiver to start.
Jaguars Happy Hour Radio Monday airs 4 to 6 p.m. on 1010XL AM in Jacksonville and on Jaguars social media channels. On to Wednesday and huddle up with Bucky Brooks. Trevor Lawrence's numbers have declined over the last few weeks, and Bucky, John Osier, and I got into a conversation about Lawrence's pocket presence. Let's hear from the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, speaking with the media today. John Osier had the question about his pocket presence and if he's still working on it.
I've always had a pretty good feel for the pocket and moving. I think the difference in college and now the NFL is, you know, when you feel color or you feel someone getting off a block or whatever and you move, I've always been good at that. It's just not moving too much, though. You know, the NFL, you can only move a yard or so, and then you're going to move into more trouble if you move further than that. So that's one thing, that just smaller movements. You watch someone like Tom Brady just can sit in the pocket and move 6 inches each direction and buy himself a couple extra seconds. Like, that's something that him and Aaron Rodgers and all these guys that have been playing for a long time do a really good job of, and that's just through experience and playing and getting a feel for it and really trusting it. And I feel like I've gotten better, but there's always more work to do there.
Always room to improve. Trevor last week, 16 of 35, 162 yards, 59.5 rating. And you see his numbers for the year, just under 2,000 yards. John, you asked him the question. And that's a very thoughtful answer from a quarterback in his first season.
Well, I just asked because I thought he was off the charts good at this early. And I'm glad we used this because I do want to hear Bucky's thoughts on it. I thought he was off the charts good awareness, getting away from pressure early in the season. It seems like in the last couple of weeks, maybe he has felt the pressure a little more. I'm not saying he's bad in this area. I think he's really good, and I don't think you lose it in a couple of games. But, Bucky, are you seeing anything concerning in the pocket? Where do you think he is on this? And, what are your thoughts on that, watching him? Because I know you watch that closely every week with him.
Yeah, no, John, I think you pointed to something. He is a little jittery in the pocket. But some of that is because he's waiting for his guys on the outside to win. In a league that is really predicated on timing and rhythm, particularly from the quarterback, when your guys don't uncover quickly and you've been hit a few times, it does make you change and move around and hope and pat the football and wait for your guy to get open. And so I feel like with Trevor Lawrence, like, we really won't know what he is going forward until he has more around him, not only the offensive line, but the playmakers. Because what he needs and what I would love to see, I would love to see him take a snap, drop back, hit the fifth step, let the ball go on time, and guess what? The wide receiver is open. It is rare that we're seeing those simple things kind of play out. And so because of that, that's why this passing game has been grounded. They have to find a way to make it very easy for him, and the way they can make it easier for him is making the game easier for the wide receivers to uncover, get open quickly so he can deliver the ball on time and not have to worry about all the chaos around him within the pocket.
Yeah, Bucky, you touched on something I've said a couple times this week. I'm not saying that Trevor hasn't had some bad plays in the last couple of weeks. You know, I went back and watched the game. He threw 35 times, counted five or six balls that I thought, okay, they accurate off a little bit on that. But what you never see, and maybe this came into light because I'm watching the Colts the other day,
Pittman.
Two or three times in that game, wide open on crossing routes, where easy throw and it's a 15-yard gain. I haven't seen that for this offense at all this season. And I guess my point with Trevor to the people who are criticizing him this week, as a rookie, if you throw 35 times, I'm not sure you're not going to expect six or seven balls that aren't quite where they want to be, especially if the wide receivers aren't winning. But the drops and the lack of anything easy, it feels like there ought to be eight more completions in there somewhere between something ought to be breaking easier than this and they ought to be catching the ball a little better. Everybody wants to turn this conversation on Trevor into this or that. It's either one or the other. It's somewhere in between, but I think those points I make, Bucky, I think they're valid because I'm making them, but what, your thoughts on that?
There's a lot of validity to it. It's a lot of validity to being able to look at the game. And a lot of times when I'm looking at Trevor, I just throw the numbers to the side because I don't think it's a really fair way to evaluate him based on the numbers. What he's playing with, what he's being tasked with is uncommon for what a rookie should be doing. We're basically asking Trevor Lawrence to put the team on his back as a first-year starter. That is uncommon. That is unprecedented. That's not really what you ask your young quarterback to do. Typically, in most situations, you want your other guys, your other parts of the team to be able to carry the team while the young rookie gets up to speed. So the defense keeps the score down. The running game keeps the offense within range. The quarterback is asked to make four or five plays a game to eventually win the game. When everyone is celebrating Mac Jones' success, right? Everyone is talking about Mac Jones, best rookie we've seen. Look at all this. When you dig into the numbers, the majority of his plays are running back screens. He has the second most in the league. Out routes, he has the most in the league. And check down plays. That's what he's doing. He is winning because the design of the offense has made it where he is only throwing safe throws. And that is on a team that doesn't have a lot of exceptional perimeter talent. So some of this falls back on the play call and the play designers to make the game easier for the quarterback. Make the game easy for the quarterback, and then he can do some of those things that we saw him do at Clemson, and this offense would develop a better rhythm because the driving force of the offense is comfortable and playing better.
Huddle Up with Bucky Brooks airs Wednesday at 4:30 on Jaguars.com and Jags social media. When we return, it's on to the 49ers. Defensive coordinator Joe Cullen on stopping Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. Keanna Martin on the Niners' mindset after a Monday Night Football win. Plus, Urban Meyer's relationship with Nick Bosa and family. All that after this.
Jags fans, fill your wallet with one debit card that screams Duval exclusively from TIAA Bank. The Jacksonville Jaguars Visa debit card comes with a fierce look and fantastic features so you can pay with pride wherever you go. And it's yours free when you open a Yield Pledge checking account. Up your financial game today. Visit a financial center near you or find us at TIAABank.com/JagsCard. TIAA Bank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC, and the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome back to the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast presented by TIAA Bank. And thanks as always for checking out the official Jags Podcast Network. It's free on Apple iTunes or Spotify. And all our shows make the podcast network each week. Give us that 5-star rating. Now it's on to San Francisco. The 49ers have two of the top weapons in the game, wide receiver Deebo Samuel and tight end George Kittle. Samuel is second in the league in receiving yards and is a yards-after-catch machine. Defensive coordinator Joe Cullen on the challenges he creates.
Back when I was here before, you know, Coach Meyer had, you know, Percy. I mean, they were doing it in Minnesota, so he'd be out there in zebra. Next thing you know, he's the tailback. It looks like empty. He comes back in the backfield. They throw tosses, crack flips, so you're in pass defense, and now they're running the ball, and they're doing the same thing. So, and we do some of that. I mean, you look at what we've done with our guys. It's difficult, but I mean, you just gotta be ready for it, have your antennas up, and be able to play the kind of the look that you get.
And then there's Kittle, one of the great mismatches in all of football.
I know this. You know, you can get two on him, and he still splits. They move him around. They put him out at number one. They put him at three. Put him in the backfield. You got to play tight coverage on him and play inside of him, outside of him. He does a really good job at the catch point where he turns around and you're basically a little bit out of position. He positions well, like a basketball player. But the big thing he does, like when he catches the ball, he gets a lot of yards after contact. So you got to tackle him. You know, you limit the yards after contact because he does as good a job as anybody after he catches the ball.
The Jaguars defense is playing better the last couple weeks, but they'll be tested this Sunday. More insight to the 49ers' mindset after a big win on Monday Night Football from Keanna Martin, a 49ers senior reporter for the team website. She joined Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier, and Brian Sexton on Jags Drive Time Thursday morning.
We all watched from our couch Monday Night Football, and I read all about how the Rams were supposed to just absolutely dominate the 49ers, and the opposite happened. So tell us about it.
I think it took a lot of people by surprise, but not necessarily people in-house. Coming into this game, you know, 49ers obviously not sitting where they know that they should be, especially looking at the talent they have on that roster. But going into this game, knowing kind of what's on the line, knowing what this team is capable of, the mindset was much different. If you look at their matchup against the Rams, the 49ers have actually matched up quite well. Over the last couple of years, looking back, the last 2 years, having those season sweeps and kind of bringing that on. And I think a lot of people, and if you just look at these storylines heading into Monday Night Football, you're looking at this Rams team with all of these new shiny pieces. You've got Matt Stafford under center. You have Von Miller, who you got in that trade with the Denver Broncos. You bring in OBJ. So I think absolutely the 49ers were looking like underdogs, but this team knows. It doesn't matter who you bring. This team wants to bring their A game, and they have so much to prove, and they were able to do that on primetime.
Big picture, Keanna. How has Jimmy Garoppolo handled the dynamic in the quarterback room? When you take a quarterback in the top five, you generally assume that one guy's on the way out and the other guy's on his way in eventually. Has that played into the season and the struggles at all, or has Jimmy handled it like a champ? Give us a 30,000-foot view of how the quarterback room has played out this season.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, you know, you are the leader of this team, and you hear that essentially this front office has jumped up 9 spots, and they are targeting a quarterback. Now, Jimmy said that, one, he was very grateful that the 49ers were very open with him about what was going on. But, of course, he was upset. And I believe he kind of – there was a chip on his shoulder, and that kind of played into how he showed up to off-season workouts, how he showed up to training camp. Players and head coach Kyle Shanahan alike all said that Jimmy came to work a little different. It wasn't the same Jimmy Garoppolo that we've seen in years past. So now let's fast forward to season. 49ers have dealt with a little bit of a struggle, but Kyle Shanahan said that he is at that moment and at this moment the best quarterback in the building for the job and gives the 49ers the best chance to win. I know a lot of fans have been calling to see Trey Lance, but I think we kind of got to take a step back and remember that this guy has only played a handful of games in college. I feel like this is going to be more of a process. We're going to have a little bit of patience before we see Trey Lance kind of take over the entire offense. But he might be waiting a little longer because of the way Jimmy Garoppolo has been playing over these last three games. He's been playing clean football, decisive football. The 49ers, their offense has found a way to get clicking. And Jimmy Garoppolo has really been kind of taking the steps that this team necessarily needed, especially as they're looking into the second half of the season and trying to make that, I don't like saying the word, but that playoff push. I know it's a lot of football to be played. But if Jimmy Garoppolo continues to play at the level that he is right now, it might be a while until we see Trey Lance fully taking charge of the offense.
Where's this team's confident level right now? They're 4-5, but they've got to feel like if they win this week, they're back in it. Is that how they're approaching it? And do you see this as a team that can make that kind of push?
That's it, kind of exactly what's going on. I actually spoke with a couple of guys yesterday, and that win against the Rams was such a momentum builder. And now it's just, how do you take that and how do you carry that along the rest of the season? Monday night was probably the most complete game that we saw the 49ers play this entire season. It's been a little lopsided in other times of the season. And maybe at one point, especially a couple of weeks ago against the Chicago Bears, the defense was struggling a little bit. Offense finally caught its wind in the second half of the game. But going into Monday night, if they can continue what we saw on the field there and continue that throughout the season, I feel like this team has the opportunity to take it to that next level. If you look at the NFC picture right now, you have your teams that are sitting at the top. And you know who are going to be those teams that you're going to see play January football. But beyond that, some teams are starting to slide. Some teams are starting to move up. So there's a lot of opportunity for this 49ers team. But honestly, their fate is realistically in their own hands. They know what lies ahead, and they'll have to be the ones that essentially keep them in that mix as we finish off the second half of the season.
Jags Drive Time airs Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 10 o'clock on Jaguars.com and the Jags social media channels. Let's wrap this week with the Urban Meyer Show from Tuesday afternoon and our first look at the 49ers with the head coach. Meyer, Jeff Lagerman, and I reacted to the big Monday night win for San Francisco and got the head coach's memories of Nick Bosa, the 49ers defensive end who played for Meyer at Ohio State. The Jaguars welcome in the San Francisco 49ers in Week 11 at the 1 o'clock kickoff time, 10 a.m. Pacific. We'll take that. That's good news for the body clock. Short week for San Francisco. But, Coach, it's a team. I don't know if you watched it all last night, but they just hammered the Los Angeles Rams and held them to their lowest point total and yardage total of the season on defense. This is a team that might feel like they're back in it.
Yeah, they played great. You know, I didn't want to say I didn't expect it, but boy, they were all over them. And that started with an 18-play drive. And at one point on the 12 straight first downs, they ran the ball, and they ran it hard. And 19 is one of the best players in the NFL. And I've respected him. I've watched him. And then I actually made a cut up today of how they used him. And him and 85 are, you know, they're the reason that's who they are. They're as good of players as they're at their position in the National Football League.
Yeah, two guys that would fall into that category of being elite players. And when you got an elite player, you got to find creative ways to get them the ball. And in the way that Kyle Shanahan, as you talked about, Deebo Samuel lining up in the backfield as a running back, he lined up as a wide receiver. I mean, when you got a great player like that, they try to hide him. But that's something that your defense is going to have to figure out exactly where he is at and identify where he is at, know what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, the offense is triggered around 85 and 19. They have also a good back. I understand he's like a fifth rounder, but he's 4.3 speed. He's fast, only about 205 pounds. But yeah, make no mistake about it, they do an excellent job of moving people around and motions and running the ball. But they also, you know, the ball, Garoppolo does not hold the ball very long. He gets it out quickly. But number 19's has got a lot of respect for him as a player.
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell, the running back you're talking about, a sixth-round pick, and they've got a stable of running backs, and they like to run the football. And one of the things that I've seen in the past with them is when they get running the football, and they didn't do a ton of it against the Rams, but once they start running the football, they love play action. That's Kyle Shanahan's game.
Yeah, it's a combination. Everybody wants to do that. You know, that's the game of football. You run the ball well, and we're playing our best. That's exactly what we are. Run the ball well, and it's also you don't get let people just pin their ears back and come rush a quarterback when a hard play action run. Because the defensive lineman, it's as a fan and as a everybody just remember, you can control what the defense does. If it's run action, they're going to play the run. If it's drop back pass and show a high hat, high hands, you know, you're facing with the Nick Boses and number 91, and that's something I'd be very cautious with in this league.
Yeah, and offensively, the other guy that I would put in the category is kind of unique in that they use him in different way. Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback slash tight end that they have. Look, not many teams in the National Football League have a true fullback on their roster, and I don't know if I'd call him a true fullback or not. I just call him a good football player.
Yeah, they flex him out. Had a big third down completion, like on an option route or drag route, and he's a finisher and block. So they've done a nice job putting that team together.
Head coach Urban Meyer with us on the Urban Meyer Show. You'll look across the other side and see Nick Bosa. What is your first thought when you see somebody wearing the name Bosa on the back?
Well, I'm very close with the family. Obviously, you got the coach of the two brothers, Joey and Nick. His father was a first-round draft pick. His mom was a graduate of Ohio State. And I'm very close with Nick. You know, I love the guy. He's a talk about plus two. He's a plus two animal. He's a guy that, he's got extremely powerful force behind his pass rush, but he also has great speed. So, and his sidekick right there, 91 next to him, is this problem.
Yeah, you look at Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa, and both of them have just a tremendous lower body strength the way that they play the game. And I'm sitting there watching these guys come out of Ohio State every year. You got the Bosas, Chase Young. Did you recruit all these guys?
Recruited those names, yeah. And Sam Hubbard and Tyquan Lewis and, you know, a bunch of good ones in there.
Jeez, did you leave anybody for anybody else? I mean, holy cow, talking about owning the corner of the market on defensive ends.
Yeah, I heard Chase Young tore an ACL too, and yeah, he's a great guy. But we got to focus on Bosa. We got to know exactly where he's at all the time. They make it a little more difficult because they play him on the right side and left side now. I think predominantly he was a left side guy, so you knew where he was. Now they move him around, and that'll be challenging for us. I'm glad we're home.
The Urban Meyer Show airs Tuesday at 5 o'clock on the Jaguars Radio Network. Coming up Sunday, it's the Public's Tailgate Show at 10 o'clock on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville and the Jaguars social channels. Then at noon, Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. We'll hear from Pete Prisco, the guys in the booth, Fred Taylor, and we have the final word before kickoff each week with head coach Urban Meyer. After the game, stick around for Jaguars postgame. Fred Taylor joins us, and then later, the Scoreboard Show will take your calls with Bucky Brooks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game Sunday, and thanks for listening. I'm J.P. Shadrick. We'll catch you next week on the Jaguars Broadcast Week in Review podcast, presented by TIAA Bank.